Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here live.
Get it back live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Get it back live.
We gonna set this up right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Give me the pig.
Here it is, another wonderful night.
Yes, it truly is. A wonderful, wonderful night.
A night to celebrate a great game by the Toronto Argonauts, and I can't think of a guy who's happier at the result than John Granger. Now that I've said that, I'm going to wait for him to cool down a wee bit. So we won't go to him right away. But I guess we could talk about the game. We can talk about the Ticats won. We can talk about the fact that the season's got three games left. And it's at that point in the season where we kept talking since January. Every time something happened, whether a player was released or whether a player was brought in, and, you know, every team, not just the Argonauts in the CFL, we all talk about what the process might be, how it might look. And at the very beginning, it was clear that Winnipeg and Edmonton were going to have problems. I think we all noticed that from the beginning. The real variable was, and the question was, as I bring John in, hopefully he's cooled down a little bit. The real issue was what was going to happen with Hamilton and Montreal. We knew that there were three studs out west, Calgary, BC, and Saskatchewan. Many of us felt that Saskatchewan was going to be the team to beat, that they were actually loading up. And I joked about the fact that I'm not sure they actually had a legal salary cap. Regardless, we were looking forward to a great football season, and I don't think it's disappointed. And another surprise that happened this year that I don't think anybody else would have expected was the fact that all these quarterbacks would go down and young guys would take over and do well enough to really garner a lot of attention. This past weekend, Montreal just devastated Edmonton and destroyed any, semblance of an opportunity for them to make the playoffs. Montreal had to do that, and they did it in thumping fashion. And they did it with another young quarterback. Marsh is down, and now Nieswander is up. And Nieswander did a great job. Incredible. I watched that game. I had to watch with one eye closed because it seemed no matter what Edmonton did, it came out caca. And whatever the Alouettes did, it came out, what can we call it? Well, it came out sweet like roses, baby. That's what happened. It was just a devastating loss for the Edmonton Eskimos and a great win for the Montreal Alouettes. So now in the East, all of a sudden, where it looked like the Argos were going to run away from the group now has tightened. Literally, there are no guarantees at this point who's going to finish first. But there are, I think it's pretty safe to say that we now know after this weekend who will be in the playoffs. And on the East End, it'll be Toronto, Hamilton, and Montreal. In the West, it'll be as everyone predicted from probably going back to January, probably even after the Grey Cup, Calgary, BC, and Saskatchewan. John, what do you think?
About what?
About anything. About scarves. What do you think about scarves?
People have no clue what you're talking about, Frank.
Good
so
thing.
We'll get into the scars at some other point. Look, the result on Friday, all I wish I was hearing is thank yous from Ticats fans, because this gave them some sort of hope, and it does create some sort of additional interest to the Thanksgiving game. Rather than the Argos now playing out the season, all we're going to hear is, why are we even playing, Ray? Why are we playing, Cocker? We have first place. We have a playoff spot. Let them. So this will fine-tune them, keep them fine-tuned right up to the end of the season. And it is sweeter, Frank, when you clinch something and you're in the other there is, and if you're there, it's even better. Now, for us, Argo fans who are going, and God forbid if it doesn't happen that way, it's
John, your sound is terrible. It's your turn this week.
Is it really? Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, can you hear me? Rob's on Facebook. How are the mics sounding? Are they sounding okay? He says he's trying to listen. That implies to me that there might be a problem. But having said that,
what I should do is I'll give you a call back, or why don't you call me?
No, now it's working. Now it's fine. But if you want, yes, I can call you. That's okay with me.
Let's do that. Give me a shout back.
I'll call you, buddy.
Okay? All right.
Okay. Oops, too late. Now I have to look up his number. You have those problems. Does anybody else have that problem where they have to literally look up a phone number, because usually all you do is you just click a picture of somebody and there they are, and then they're on, that kind of thing. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to go to a couple of commercials, and I got to see also, let's go to a couple of commercials. Why don't we do that? Yeah, let's do that.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argos cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
One, two, three.
We're the Argos cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay! Go Frank!
There you go, Frank.
Thank you. Hey, Argo lifers, Argo fans, the Toronto Argonauts fan cruise is on the horizon. 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise, February 1st through 8th. Argo fans, do you want to live it up? The ultimate cruise party on the high seas may be just what you need. Join reigning CFL Coach of the Year Scott Milanovic, the Grey Cup winning quarterback Ricky Ray, and members of the 2013 Argos cheerleaders on a 7-night voyage to some of the most exotic destinations in the Caribbean. Join the fun as we kick off the Argos Fan Cruise Week in Miami, Florida, with an action-packed tailgate party, including your newest friends. The party continues on board the Celebrity Reflection with exclusive events throughout the week that will have everyone talking. There is no better way than to spend the week by soaking up the sun, enjoying fine cuisine, hitting up the gym or spa, or simply partying the night away. Get ready to put your game face on and join the fun. For more information on pricing or to book, please call 416-929-1980, 416-929-1980, or toll-free 1-877-510-2751. That's 1-877-510-2751. Book early, because this is one huddle you can be a part of with the Toronto Argonauts. Now, charitable work by the Toronto Argonauts is much, many, and a lot. Jason Pottinger for the game this week, people donated tickets, and I'll let you hear it out of his mouth, and this is what it worked out to.
That lights up. Welcome back, buddy.
Frank, thank you.
Not that much.
How's that ticket sale thing going?
Good. Yeah, sold 150 tickets.
Beautiful. I did my part a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit?
Yeah,
you promoted it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're sending 90 at-risk youth to the game, underprivileged youth, Toronto youth, and we raised over $4,000 to build a new latrine at a school in Kenya.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm glad.
You do a little bit.
Yeah.
Just keep it out there.
You know about it.
And, hey, listen, good road trip.
Yeah,
that was a hell of a road trip. Yeah, awesome. Enjoy, bud. I bet it has.
Yeah, so that's Jason Pottinger, one of the recipients, if you will, of the Toronto Argonaut goodwill. Corinne is a principal, and she brought 90 students there to the game against Hamilton. So we were not disappointed alone.
Argos!
What? Hold on.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Principal, Corinne, I understand you have an association with Jason Pottinger, something that I helped advertise. Some kids came to the game today.
Yes, I work with Jason Pottinger with his charity Tackles for Toilets, and we had 90 kids join us because of donations of his donors.
It's got to be a good feeling.
It's great, and you know, a lot of these kids had never been downtown before, let alone at a CFL game, so it was quite the experience for them, and it was really a special thing that he did, and that it's great for the kids.
The good news, Brenda, was a big crowd, so they had a chance to see it, you know, with a fair-sized crowd. The finish wasn't so good, but I'm not sure that that matters that much.
No, I think it's just the experience being at the game with all the people around and everybody chanting, and a lot of them got, like, little footballs to take home, and Jason autographed them at the end of the game and came into the stands and said hi and took pictures, so it was, like, it was an experience I'll never forget.
I hope your kids had a lot of fun, and thanks for doing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, my pleasure.
Corinne, school teacher, principal.
Now, this is what the Argos are about, and this is what the CFL is about. And you guys hear me talk about it all the time, and I really am grateful that athletes do take the time to make a contribution to the community that is beyond them being, introspective, if you will, caring about what goes on in their life. They're very giving, and that's something that I find very good, and it's nice to witness it firsthand. Okay, so that was interesting. Let's try that again. Anyway, yeah, so basically, we were at Shoeless Joe's. So if you heard anything, that's the noise in the background. After the game, Shoeless Joe's, that was the Argo cheerleaders cheering, giving us a little bit of a cheer, letting you realize, and many of you hope, not all of us are like John and I, depressed and disappointed that the boys lost. But we have not lost hope. We have not lost hope. We have put away the razor blades. We're good. We're fine. Suicide is not in our future. In fact, as John said before he bailed, and in case you didn't hear it because the sound wasn't so hot, John, I'll say what you said that I think they might not have heard because I was having difficulty. I was putting the pieces together. At the end of the day, this is not a loss. This is an opportunity to enjoy an even better victory.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Said again. Yes. So that's the bright side of it. You know, look, the game was, again, another typical game that we've seen in the last four games prior to this one, which was where the Argos did not win the first half. And, by the way, they came out and won the second half. It just turns out that we didn't get as many points as we needed in the second half, but we did win the second half. We scored 13, they scored 11. Unfortunately, in the first half, it was a little bit more lopsided where it didn't work out. They scored 22, we only had 6. But again, it was a second-half comeback. And what people, I think, are missing out here is that of all games, Frank, you know how I am with Caleros, okay? As saying that,
yep.
You know, yeah, well, you know, the defense, I always say, has more or less won the games for us prior to this, I thought, okay? I think the defense, again, here is where it lapsed. It wasn't Caleros. Okay, he as a matter of fact, to me, did an amazing job, did an awesome job. What he did was he actually did better than Burris did in the game. We're not bringing up. You know, I'm hearing stories, and I saw, you know, Burris being interviewed after the game. I saw the repeat of the game, and, you know, they highlighted him having a great game and so forth. But the fact is that he had 19 completions out of 31 attempts, and Caleros had 21 completions out of 32 attempts, okay? Caleros had 277 yards in total. Burris had 274. It just, you know, Burris got the two TDs, which Caleros couldn't. I couldn't finish.
And the pick six.
Yes, you know, those are factors that come into light here. And I'm, again, you know, it was one of those situations where it would have been nice, you know, after a four-game road trip, being away for a month, having a decent crowd, you know, Friday night, television, back-to-back, TSN, Friday night, blah, 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 da-da-da, to come out with a win at home. That would have been pretty. But it couldn't come out pretty. Had to come out the way it did. And it came out nice for the Ticats.
Well, if you're a Hamilton fan, it came out gorgeous.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to be, yes. It came out nice for them. I don't know what they see as a huge positive. We still had our backup in there, you know. They took us in the first half. I think it was because the Argos didn't finish off. And when I was really disappointed with the coach, Scott, not going for it on third and goal, a half a yard.
Uh-oh.
You know, Frank, that really irks me sometimes. We're so early in the game, just before halftime. Give the fans what they want. You haven't seen them in a month, so do it. You know, the 3 points, whoopee. Okay, if we didn't get it, all right, at least we had some confidence that we came down so close on the goal line. At least we gave the fans what they wanted. I mean, they should have gone for that. And I think the momentum, to me, kind of you would figure, I think at that point it did getting the Argos did get a little bit better. But I just think the energy in the stadium kind of flattened out a little bit as far as Argo fans. I felt it anyways a little bit. Anyway, the Ticats, you know, took it upon themselves, and they won the game. Good for them. Congratulations, Ticats fans and the team. Great. Now we're going to have to do it ugly for you in Guelph, just like what we like to do. Frank, the road trip, the streak is still alive. You know, we might have lost the winning streak, but the consecutive road trip streak is still alive. And it's going to be a good one. Thanksgiving, don't we always say that the Argos like to play it big and play better when there's more attention and focus to it? Well, Thanksgiving, holiday, people will be watching. I don't know. That's the formula that seems to work for them all the time.
Well, you know, it sounds, this is, we're being repetitive. I'm being repetitive. I'll say I'm being repetitive because it's actually I that always mention this. And it really isn't about how it goes, how you win the first game or the second game or the third game. It's how you finish. And right now, the important thing for the Argos is to maintain a good game, you know, maintain the ability to play a good game, which they'll be able to do because rumors are, and we'll find out tomorrow because I'll go to practice tomorrow and start finding out, get some interviews, maybe even with Ray. And if I have an interview with Ray, here's the secret I'm going to tell you. If I interview Ray tomorrow, he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
There you
okay.
go. Okay.
Right.
So that's going to be the deal. At the end of the day, Toronto Argonauts in the last five games had a young guy, second-year pro quarterback, second-year pro, Kolaros, second-year pro, lead the team to a 4-1 record, 4 on the road, 1 at home, won all of them on the road, lost the one, last one at home. And for goodness sake, folks, if we're talking 5 weeks ago, and John, I don't think you'll be ashamed to admit that you were actually concerned that they could go 0-5.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
and so really, when we look back, none of us should be disappointed, right?
No, I'm not. Like I said,
know I'm not.
I'm not crying. No double blue here. You know, there's no double blues being crying.
It just would have been better.
But,
John, I'm sure you would have been willing to trade any loss to any other team other than Hamilton.
Yeah, well, yes, you know,
that's the
Frank,
only downside.
Yes, but like I said, because we were away for so long, and I'm saying we, I mean the Argonauts and the game, the home games, were not around for so long, it would have been a positive thing, you know, it would have, but it's, you know, again, a loss is never good, but you have to look at the positives in a negative, if that makes sense to some people out there, and if
gotcha.
You understand what I'm talking
positive,
about.
Positive. No, I actually was talking to Milanovic in the reverse, and I could play that interview again, talking about how well they, the great record they had, but still, they weren't winning pretty, you know? So let's not kid ourselves into thinking that they rolled into every town and destroyed them. They did what good teams do, you know, is win. I joke about this, and I apologize to the Edmonton Eskimo fans, but and you guys know I love you. I love the Edmonton Eskimos. I think they're a great organization. But, you know, there isn't that much difference between the Argonauts and the Edmonton Eskimos when you look at the season. You know, the Argos, what makes the difference between a winner and a loser is winners know how to win and losers know how to lose. And unfortunately, this was Edmonton's year for losing, and so far this has been the Argonauts, you know, season for winning, where they've won games. Even it started at the beginning of the year, John. I mean, you and I sat in the stands and watched that first game against Hamilton. A nick here or there, a slight little deviation here or there, and it could have been Hamilton leaving with the first game of the season with a victory.
Yep, sure.
You know, but what we got to remember in sports, it doesn't matter how well you play; it's whether you win or lose. As much as everybody wants to say the otherwise, right? So all
sure.
I'm saying is they've got the Argos now, they're in the position now to figure out what they're doing that doesn't make their game that good and figure out how to fix it. A lot of, I figure 50% of what they got that's going wrong is going to be resolved when Ricky Ray comes back. That doesn't mean everything, but a lot of what Kolaros doesn't do that isn't apparent by the close victories will become far more apparent when Ricky Ray's at the helm.
Well, Frank, in a way, yes, the chemistry is a little bit different. But no matter who is quarterbacking, I'm not going to mention the defensive backs' names and who were covering the guys who were covering the Hamilton receivers. But they got burnt. They got burnt on the first touchdown of the,
oh,
of the game.
Oh,
the guy, like I said, it's no point rehashing that, but these guys have to fine-tune their shit. Because
you're
not
rehashing, John. Let's face it, on that first touchdown, again, not mentioning names, not even the look to see where the ball was.
No, and there was a couple of other players. Nobody really, like I said, the defense is usually what I kind of see as my focus as to if they're not in their job, we end up winning games or we keep it close. And in this game, first half, boy, I mean, I don't know. And a couple of plays with I think it was Gable who was left out in the open, and I don't know. It was to me, it was ugly. But again, you know, it looks pretty at the other end. The other guys did their job, and it's a good thing. I mean, you know what? Hamilton Ticat fans, in a way, they needed that. They came to Toronto on a Friday night to have a good time, to party, to go to the clubs probably afterwards, or, you know, to get a beer after the game somewhere in Toronto. Ends up being a good feel for them, which is all good. It's no harm done, and, you know, they can't really do that in Guelph. You know, once you leave the game in Guelph, you go back home. So it was a festive day for them. And it's, like I said, in any negative, you have to see the positive. There are positives there. And just look for the light. And like I said, it's all good. I'm good with it. Frank, I'll be a lot better next Monday.
Okay? To make things, to sort of get a better understanding from the Hamilton Tiger Cats perspective, with us now is RJE, Rob J. Emery. Former ball boy and assistant equipment manager for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Now, I'm not quite sure what side of the equation he'll fall on, but I'm sure he will, you know, give us his opinion. So, Rob, tell us your take on what happened on Friday night.
Well, you know, I just I actually fell asleep during the game. And woke up and found out that Hamilton made the playoffs. So I was kind of like, sweet, you know? It was just like, wow. It was like I woke up in a new world, right? And it's like, Ticats are in the playoffs. I'm like, oh, sweet, you know?
Hey, Rob, it's John here. How you doing? Did you
hey,
have a
I'm
chance
doing good.
To,
how are you?
Good, good, good. Did you have a chance to see it on replay?
I seen like some of the like on Sports Desk and that.
Oh, okay, all
right. No. All
you
that,
just
right?
You just saw the highlights.
Highlights, that's it. Highlights.
Oh
yeah,
my God! Okay, so it's nice to know that we're with a loyal Hamilton Tiger Cat fan who won't stop at anything to watch the game. other than sleep. Well, you know, I
thanks,
hope
Frank.
I hope the
hey, Frank,
due
Rob
the
had a busy. Hey, Frank, come on, give him a break. It was a Friday night, and he had a busy week. You know,
I should ask
he loves the cat. He loves the cat, but he doesn't
love
them that
cat.
Much.
I love the cats for now.
For
my
now,
my Red Blacks are coming in next season, so the cats better be careful.
We get it. We get it, Rob. We get it. Cats will do that to you. You take a cat nap, boom, boom, and you fall asleep when you watch them. I get it.
John.
Okay, I get it.
John.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah.
Should I ask him what he's doing Friday?
What are you doing Friday?
This Friday?
You don't have to send me a resume anymore.
Yeah. This Friday. What am I doing? Well, I know I'm working.
I need somebody else to sleep on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're not the first one to sleep on a Friday night, okay?
We don't play Friday night, do we? I thought we play Saturday.
No, Rob, he's just pulling your leg. He's actually
trying to
pick on Aaron indirectly right now. So, Aaron
now,
Freeland, it's just Frank being Frank. Don't worry about
it. Now, hang on a second now. All right.
Monday, October.
So, listen, it was nice talking to you, Rob. Since you have nothing to contribute, I'll just hang up the phone now. You didn't see the game. What are you going to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, I made a mistake.
Like, what have you got to talk about?
I want to apologize to Mike. If he's listening, Mike, I'm sorry. I made a mistake saying that Edmonton all the way. I looked at all the stats in that, and I think it had Edmonton with 5 games left at 6 points, and Montreal with 5 games left with 10 points. All Montreal has to do is win this game on the weekend, and they've clinched.
Well, they haven't quite clinched yet.
No, but if they win the game on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the one coming up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all the same. If you're did you watch any of the football games this weekend?
Actually.
Guys,
uh-oh.
I just have to update you. Mathematically, Edmonton is out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everybody is clinched. Everybody has made the playoffs. Who has made it? The only thing that hasn't been decided yet is first, second, third. But as far as teams making the playoffs, everything is done with. There's no way.
Hamilton,
no.
Hamilton,
no, I don't
want to
hear
Hamilton
that.
First,
I don't want to hear that. Edmonton still
Hamilton
has to have
first,
a chance.
Toronto second, Montreal third.
Is that what you think it's the way it's going to end, or is that just where it is right now?
No, that's how it's going to end.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm looking at the standings right now.
So will Montreal
Toronto with 18.
Will Montreal beat Hamilton?
It depends who Montreal has at quarterback. If Hamilton wins, or actually when Hamilton wins on Monday, they won't lose another game from now on throughout the season.
So, okay.
So that means they'll win against Toronto on Monday. And then they'll beat Hamilton on the 20th. And they'll beat Montreal on the 20th. Then they play Montreal on the 26th. And then they play Winnipeg. That's an easy win right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think because all they have to do is I don't know. It's too confusing right now to be deciding on games because you know Toronto is a great team. They got a great quarterback in that Kolaris guy, and like you were saying earlier, if Ricky Ray decides to come back, well, he could be a one of those barn burners.
Yeah, it'll be one of those.
He could come in and just be explosive and just like when he first started in Edmonton. Just be like top of his game and everything and this and that, you know? Or he could come back and shit the bed and be all over the place, right? And then Milanovic might have to say, well, Ricky, we're going to have to pull you and put Kolaris back in, you know? And you can be his second string quarterback or whatever. You know?
And that wouldn't be such a bad thing, concerning he's 4-1 right now in his last five. So,
yeah.
You know, it.
But see,
no...
if, if I was Milanovic, I would keep Kolaris in there. Even if Ricky Ray comes back, keep Kolaris in there, see how he does.
I don't want to see first halves like we have seen the last five games. I really don't. And with Ricky Ray, with Ray, you just don't get that.
No.
I want to see Ricky. I want to see the completion ratio 32. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to see numbers like that. Kolaris is great. We've always said that he's great in the pocket. He's got a great arm within 25 yards. As far as accuracy, anything longer than that, I'm still going to be on him on that. He's got to fine tune that. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But it's our defense who really screwed it up for us on Monday. I got to tell you, it wasn't so much the offense, and maybe the couple coach calls that the coaches made. I could have gone the other way, but it is what it is, guys.
I'm looking at the passing yards for the league leaders. There's two of them in there that are rookie quarterbacks this year, Kolaris and Mike Riley.
Mm-hmm.
You got
Mike Riley's not a rookie.
And of course, you got one of the Ticats, front row center, first place, Henry Burris. Right?
Okay. What were you trying to get to, though?
No, I'm just saying, because I'm looking at the passing yards for the statistics for 213. You got Mike Riley and Zach Kolaris.
Yeah. Listen, we talked, not to put that aside, but those numbers really don't mean nothing. Like I said, and TSN broadcasters have also said it with Mike Riley. It's a lot of yards that he got in the third and fourth quarters trying to catch up going long.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Those numbers don't mean squat, okay? It's who's winning the games that what really comes down to it, all right? It's not the numbers that you put up, but what's your win total as a starter?
Yeah.
That's what really comes down to it. Is he a winning quarterback from beginning to end? And it's not how many, evidently it's not how many yards you get because Edmonton's already out. So, hello. It's that kind of a league, guys. It's got to be a team effort. And you have to have a leader that can put the ball, right in the chest. And fortunately this year with the backups that have filled in for the starting quarterbacks, has worked out great for the CFL. I think I can't believe this year how much the quarterbacks, and especially the backup quarterbacks is what I'm trying to say, have become so important and vital. And it's really a good thing. It's great to see. Of course, you don't like to see it happening against you, but
yeah.
It's a good thing.
And I'm going to give a shout-out to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders because they won this last game because what's his name came back there? Sheets. Yeah.
Mm.
If they didn't have him back, they would have lost.
If they didn't have him back, they would have sheets the bed.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh boy, Frank.
Definitely.
How many times do you have to say that one? Jeez.
Hey, listen, I'm full
that.
Of sheets. What can I say?
You got that right. Yeah.
I can't wait to get my sheets out.
But again, okay, Frank.
No sheets.
But again, sheets. We'll see. Of course, Saskatchewan broke BC's record. They've been winning all their games at home this year, and so that's history. And the Rider fans needed that because it was looking pretty ugly. I'm not saying that Rough Riders are out of the woods here. I still think they're pretty weak compared to even with Sheets back there. Compared to what they were at the beginning of the season. Again, Sheets is coming off an injury. Can he take the banging? Because the offense, Durant, is just not doing it. He wasn't too impressive this game either. It was all Sheets again. The running game did it for them. I'm not sure the numbers were as great as he wanted, but you can see, evidently, it turned out in Saskatchewan's favor. So, yeah, we'll see if he lasts.
Yep. Well, I think he will.
All right. Well,
I think they're going to push so hard, and they're under so much pressure, the Rough Riders. They have been from the get-go, but it's less pressure when you're winning. And, you know, they were on that different kind of high pressure where you're winning and everything is going smoothly for you and you start off so great. And when you hit what they usually hit every year, nobody wanted to say, uh-oh, here we go again with the Rough Riders. Well,
yeah,
it's here we go again with the Rough Riders. And even more so, guys, because now they got the Grey Cup there. Their
yep.
fans expect it from them. So, boy, oh, boy. And that, the worst thing that could have happened to them is to go on this losing streak. I think beating BC at home is a good thing. I mean, it's overdue. They should have done that in Montreal. But to beat them in BC is, regardless if they had their third-string quarterback or whatever, they still won. And it is a good little boost for them. But are they better than Calgary or BC when they got, their guy, quarterbacking them? No, I don't think so. Not at this point. And I don't think Sheets is really going to be, the next two games, I see this guy getting pretty banged up. And if they, when they do have the playoff game, I don't think they're going to get a playoff game at home, guys. I really don't. I think they're going to finish third.
Really?
I think so. I think so. Calgary's not losing, no. I think Calgary's probably the strongest team in the West. BC, I just think they're overall a better team in the past five games, obviously, than Saskatchewan has been. But don't let this past game in BC fool you. I just think, in general, I like BC. I think they're a stronger team. Oh, whatever. That's just me. What do I know?
Okay, so I might disagree just a little bit. I happen to think that I'd put Saskatchewan in front of BC. Calgary is a team that will be very hard to beat. Very hard to beat for everybody, not just the West. Calgary, I figure to be the favorite at this point. We'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. We need we need to see what effect Ricky Ray's return has and how quickly he rounds into form and that 78% interceptions reputation that he built in the early part of the season. Hamilton. How much improvement is Hamilton going to make in the next little while? Can Hamilton do what all the other teams have done, have a quarterback go down and have their backup almost not let the team skip a beat? I don't think so. So Montreal has looked great against Edmonton, but that was Edmonton. But Nieswander, what I saw in that game against Edmonton, Nieswander looked really on the ball. He was sharp. His passes were, he was a surgeon out there. And I'm worried about that if you're an Argo fan because, surgery on our halfbacks has been done this year and as recently as this past game. So, a great quarterback could give the Argos a lot of problems. But they have been known to get the odd interception. So as far as I'm concerned, it'll probably be Saskatchewan and Calgary in the final. And if the Argos can hang in there and maintain home field, I'm looking for the possibility that there might be an upset, and that'll be that Montreal will beat Hamilton. That's the way I see it shaking out at this point.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't be very comfortable if I was a Ticat fan right now. Montreal's looking a little bit better than I thought. Then again, we got to play them too eventually if they get up that far. So.
Oh yeah. We only talked about the first playoff game. Just establishing. I was just trying to establish how I think the standings are going to end up. And
well, I think we're going to see Montreal. What they're really about. Our last home game of the season.
Well, let's hope it doesn't mean home field advantage for the semifinal.
Ooh,
or for the Eastern. Or the Eastern Final, John. It could line up that way.
Oh, boy. You just created a scenario in my head that, oh, crap. If Hamilton had to go to Montreal to play.
I tell you, that's one of the best road trips in the world right there.
Oh, for you?
Rob.
That'd be great for you, wouldn't it?
every time we had to go to Montreal, I'm like, yes! I'm like, yeah, let's go there, And it's
But you know what would be a shame, though? it would be a shame if it wasn't a Hamilton Argo Eastern Final in the Rogers Center.
Oh,
that would
God.
Be a shame, because you know the venue is the only one that will fit in Montreal. They will not give them the stadium there if they make it into the have a playoff game. They've already been told that the Big O is not going to be available for it. So the only and then having it in Guelph, I mean, you know, 13,000, not so much.
Yeah.
You know, if you had a better, for the CFL's purposes, as far as gate revenue or whatever, it would be a better scenario if Montreal had the playoff game in Montreal, even with 23,000 there, and then had the Eastern.
John,
you know,
even if Hamilton wins, they might say, let's play in the Sky Dome anyway.
No, wouldn't happen. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? The Rogers management, anything to help the CFL, they would not go for, okay? That's just me saying that. Nobody else is saying that. That's just me saying that, okay? I just don't, you know, there's a bad taste in my mouth when it comes to Rogers Center.
It's just a corporation, John. It has its motivations and its, you know, business plan.
Well,
you know,
good, Frank, and there are ramifications for those, and those are disgruntled people, such as myself. And if they don't, for every negative action that they do, there's a counter reaction, and that's from people who are affected, like me. So, and I have a voice, and tough luck, too bad, I don't care. I'm going to voice it. And if they do something wrong, they just can't be excused by saying, well, they're a corporation, and that's what they do. That's
John,
their shtick.
John, unfortunately, John, what you're saying is the right thing to do, which is talking with your wallet. But I just happen to think that there are too many people that have short memories and less desire to, you know, to make a statement. That's the problem. You know, that's life in general. You know what I'm saying?
All I can say that to Frank is the same thing that in general, that's what people are saying. John, starting Argo Life Resection, don't bother with it. No one's going to want to sit. No one's going to make noise. It's no point. There is a point. Just go at it. If you got a passion for it, do it. If you
I wasn't referring to you. I think you know that, right? I was referring to the general public.
I'm just saying to the listeners. Just go with it. If you feel that you feel like there's an injustice done, then put it on paper or write an email to whom it may concern, and you are a voice. Do not give up, as Randy Christinger will always say. He's got all these motivational things that he pops out there. Randy, how you doing, bud? And never give up. Just go with it. And if there's something that you see is wrong, then you got to voice it. And Rogers, I'm sorry. You're doing wrong. This crap about we only want baseball to be played on grass, and that's the way we're going to go about it. It's such a moronic thing to do, and I don't care what they say. They just, you know, the NFL is never going to be playing there in 2017.
Well, John, I disagree with you a little bit. They're not doing
that.
How can
they, Frankie? Frank, stop. Frank, I got to.
No, I'm not talking about the NFL.
Speaking.
Wait. You went to.
No,
you
I'm talking about
faster.
The Rogers Center and the baseball stadium. Frank, you're not aware
I'm
of something. Okay.
Can you stop assuming what I'm going to say? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that they are sincere about the fact that they need to play on grass for the benefit of bringing players in here who don't come because they're not playing on grass.
But they're never going to be able to play football in there again, even NFL, Frank, because they're putting the seats permanently so they can't move anymore because the grass is going to be permanent. So they can't configure the stadium anymore, ever again, into a football configuration, meaning the NFL Bills won't be playing here. That's what I'm trying to say. Those things are going to be welded in because the grass is being put in. They're digging it out. They're putting it in so only baseball figurations are in. Right now the seats fly.
Perfect.
Yeah, what's that telling us? Where's the NFL going to go then?
Who cares?
That's
what I'm trying to tell you. Who cares?
Well, I do.
Who cares?
I care.
You care if the NFL comes here?
Hell right, because is there something else going on? Do you know what's going on, Frank? The Bills aren't ever coming back here, okay? That's what's going on. People are not even talking about that.
Is that
I
a
care,
problem?
Frank.
Is it a problem? Is it a problem if the NFL doesn't come to Toronto?
That's not my point.
The NFL should come to Ottawa.
Is that a problem? That's not my point, Frank. The point I'm trying to say is...
I'm trying to understand your point. No, really, seriously, I'm trying to understand.
I don't like Rodgers. That's my point.
Well, that's fine. I get that. But here's what I'm trying to say is that Rodgers is making, and it's not even Rodgers. The people who run the Blue Jays, all right, have made a decision that it'd be far better for them if they had grass field as opposed to turf, because players would be more willing to come to play for the Blue Jays. It has nothing to do with getting rid of the Argos. It has nothing to do with keeping. What am I saying? It has a lot to do with them turning their back on. You're saying turning their back on the NFL as well. So, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean that finally Rodgers has given up and after this contract's over with the NFL, this one they just signed, are they going to no longer sign and have, you know, NFL teams come to Toronto?
Well, no one's ever brought that up, but the thing that it tells me is if no one's saying it, Frank, the reason why they're not saying it is perhaps because there's a bigger plan going on here that they're going to build another stadium. And if that's the case, because the Bills are finished once the grass goes in. They cannot come up and play here anymore. In the Rogers Center, anyways, they can't. So
Okay, now that's the point, and that is the point. So now what we're looking in front of us is we always end up coming talking about stadiums, but at least there's a little bit of a different twist tonight. And the twist is there a stadium coming that will suit bringing an NFL team here? You know, if like that's the other shoe that drops with what you're saying, in as far as the Blue Jays maintaining one configuration for the Rogers Center, and that being baseball.
Well, I can't see it happening because you mentioned on the previous show, as we've heard before, the Bills have extended their contract with Buffalo, and they're staying there for the next 10, 15 years. So that's the dealio. And there's no more. It's been a pipe dream for a long time with the NFL coming up here. I just wish the reporters of Toronto and the media of Toronto would friggin' give up on it and admit it out there. That as an NFL football city, we are a failure. We do not have that base root of fans who understand the game and really follow it to the core, meaning high school, college, and really care about it. That is not here. We are not Indianapolis. We are not, you know, Cleveland. This is not happening here in Toronto. And in order to have an NFL team, guys, and if we ever did ever get one, okay, hypothetically, with the first 10 years we would go 2-16. I meant 2-14. I was right. I'm thinking of CFL. We would go 2-16, perhaps, maybe 1-15. And that's having a losing season after another losing season. We would become a half empty stadium because we don't have a core base of football fans that really care about the sport itself. They just care about a winning team and the image.
Hey,
sorry.
John, you were just thinking about the Ottawa Roughriders in the 1990s. 2-16, 3-15, 4-14. I think our best record in the 90s was in 92. We went 9-9.
Hey, Rob, I got to ask you, speaking of the Rough Riders, the old Rough Riders, you've been in that old stadium, Lansdowne Park, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, let me ask you, I've been in there, the old one, at least 4 or 5 times in the 80s, and I even saw a Grey Cup there between BC and Winnipeg. Let me ask you something here.
Sure.
Why are they doing the same-looking stadium again? That thought of having a one side with that one roof, that's so old school, you're so far from the field still. I don't understand that. I'm not loving that part of it. I really am not. The only thing I'm loving that it's not going to be like the old stadium was made out of wood. You know, it was wooden benches, and it was, remember that? It was like Splinterville.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's the only thing I'm happy it's not going to be like that, but the look of it? I mean, what?
Yeah.
I mean, really? I don't know. Do you like it?
I don't mind it, you know, like.
Like I said, anything new is good, yes.
Yeah,
but they could have gone. Why are they going back to that old? I don't know. You know, it's one thing to go back to old, good-looking stadiums that bring back sort of heritage and stuff, but that one-sided, you know, image of fans only sitting on one side and the other side doesn't look nothing like part of the stadium. I never got that. Anyway,
well, aren't they supposed to make it like a round turning? kind of like the Rogers Center Sky Dome. You know how it's all round?
Well, I don't know. Did you see, Frank, did you see the model that Minnesota Mike posted of the stadium?
I was actually going to my Facebook to see if I could see it again. I know he posted it.
Wow.
And there. It isn't going to be one-sided, John.
No, that one roof, it doesn't, both sides, like on both sides.
Both sides
only,
have
one,
a roof. Both sides have a roof.
Does it look equal on both sides? The one side looks a bit different.
Absolutely. You're right about that. There's one side that will be basically the side they hope to have the camera pointed at, right? And then you have the other side, which has a different style of roof. Almost, it looks from the aerial view that it basically is curved.
Yeah.
Almost like a football. Almost
yeah.
like a football, if you will.
Well, the roof part is good. The roof part is
yeah.
good. I just don't like the others. Anyway, that's just me. I just never liked the old stadium. It was.
But you know, then there's
know.
The other view, Johnny. There's the other view, which it looks as though they're the same. The difference is, I believe they might have. I guess the teams are underneath the bigger one.
I see.
Stands wise, it's about the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's two sided. But yeah, you know, there's the offices and that are probably under the one that looks bigger. But I don't think it's that much difference in attendance on both sides from the there's the floor view, right?
And then when you look at
there's another view, which it's a hybrid of what you're saying. And for those of you that live in Toronto, if you remember Exhibition Stadium, which
yeah.
is why John refers to old school. It looks like the grandstand at the Exhibition
yes.
Stadium on one side, which is
That's,
which brings
yeah.
you far away from the you know from
Field.
The game, you know,
yeah.
and so you don't see as well. You're further away. While on the other side, there are two levels. It looks like in one picture.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm looking at here. It's confusing. Well, the pictures
see
he
what I mean?
the pictures he sent almost look all different, John.
They do. The stadium does not look like, it looks like it's been built out of three different pieces of a stadium from something else. And I don't get it. But Winnipeg looks beautiful. Even Hamilton has a stadium look to it, you know. Maybe a really five-star high school stadium look, but it's still a stadium look. That Lansdowne one with that one, I don't know. I don't get it. Rob, have you decided where you're going to sit in that stadium?
At Lansdowne?
Yeah.
Probably
at
on
New
the Lansdowne. Sidelines, probably on the sidelines with the Red Blacks.
Oh, really?
Trying to get in there to maybe help them out somehow, you know.
Well, that's great,
I,
Rob. That's great.
Gotta try to work my.
They
got
a drink. They got a drink.
And you know, they need.
They got
water.
To moisturize. They have to get
they got
to
moisturize it. They need that
they
coconut
have,
water.
They have to have their helmets fixed.
That's right.
They have to have the right pads.
There you go.
Well, Rob, you have the experience, and I don't see why they wouldn't take a guy
well,
like you.
Yeah,
you're passionate
you
for the CFL. And,
you know, I've been 4 years with the Ottawa Roughriders, 1 year with the Hamilton Ticats, 6 years with the Ottawa Sooners, 3 years with the Ottawa Invaders. I've did junior teams here in Ottawa, like Myers Riders, Norseman. You know, I did all that, right? So. I started
go.
Off as a water boy and worked my way up, right?
See?
So,
you got to stick with it.
You know, and that's what I do, you know. I got to do it, you know. I got to get in there and show them, you know, I know what I'm doing, and that's it.
Well, hopefully this time next year you'll be able to give us post-games reports of the games that you had
on
the field.
Of course.
There you go, Frank. You got a future
oh,
reporter
hey, John,
for the Red Blacks.
That's what you're worried about? I'm worried about getting free tickets to the game.
Well, see, that's the difference between me and you, Frank.
but see,
my tickets. Boom, boom.
but see, Frank, if you've worked in the CFL and you know a lot of people, you get free tickets, right? Like, say if I don't get with the Red Blacks and say Edmonton comes down and plays Ottawa, well, I can just go in there and say, hey, Cavis. Want to hook me up with a couple tickets, bro? He'd be like, sure, a little pistol, you know? Well, you know,
that's why Frank knows you, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell Gavis.
Now he tells me. Now he tells me.
Now he tells me.
Now he tells me.
I told you that last week.
He just doesn't listen to you.
You know what? No, you know what? I don't need free tickets. Relax. I can buy tickets, too. I buy my ticket to the Argos. I'm not worried about free tickets.
Frank bought his ticket in Guelph, too. I have to say that.
Yeah.
Frank's going to Guelph. That's great, Frank. You know?
I went to
Frank,
Montreal last year. Don't worry. It cost me, but it's okay. I enjoyed
Frank,
it.
Yes.
If you ever need tickets to an Argos game, let me know. I can
very
call
funny.
Up,
very
call
funny,
up Danny
yeah.
Webb, or I'll call up Bugsy and say, hey,
well,
throw
I'll tell you what. I'll test your. If the Argos make the Grey Cup, John and I will be going, so we may need a few tickets.
Oh, I don't know if I can get.
We're willing to pay for them. We're willing to pay for them. We just want to make sure we can get them, and they got to be good seats, you know, right behind
the
Argos.
Well, yeah. I was going to throw a joke in there. The fact that it's in Regina, I don't know. You're going to have to pay me to go there. Boom, boom. Wow.
I might
no, anyway, no, all the best to all the people who are going. Good for you.
I
if you've done
to,
Regina once, you don't want to do Regina twice. Boom, boom.
Yeah, you know, I heard somebody say something really nasty about I think they were trying to say that Regina, they're a bunch of vegetarians.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
They called Regina vagina. I don't they're into veggies.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Maybe you should take a break and play the Regina song for them now, since we've talked so badly about them.
No.
Hey, Frank?
Oh, yeah. That's going to help a lot, John. That's going to help a lot. You know what? In all seriousness, we're going to take a break. I got some stuff I'd like to play, and I didn't make it on one interview. Didn't go up, so I'll have to worry about that one later. But anyway, I had a chance. We tried something different. And I know, John is not happy with the way things turned out yesterday. But we had some fun Friday at Shoeless Joe's, and I had a chance to talk to Jordan Younger.
Hi, yes. Can I talk to you for a sec?
Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to know what you've been doing. I'm with Jordan Younger. So, first of all, most important question is, are you coming back?
No, man, I'm gonna let these young guys run with it right now, man. They're doing a good job.
You're not going to do an Adriano Belli, then?
No, I'm not going to do an Adriano Belli.
But, hey, listen, I live out where you coach football. I live in Mississauga, on the border of Mississauga and Oakville. I understand you're doing stuff in Oakville. How's that coming?
Oh, good. We volunteered, me and a guy named Marius Mann. You remember wide receiver to play here? A guy named Anthony Cannon used to play linebacker here.
Yes.
We volunteered coach for the Oakville varsity football team, and then we run our own business, IDFFL.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
And you also had Corey with you for a little while. Corey Boyd was with you guys a little
but
bit.
But Corey's kind of like branched off. He's doing his own thing now.
Yeah. No, but when I talked to him, he told me you were working with you as well.
Yeah.
So how do you like how the team's doing right now?
Man, it's exciting to see, like, the level of play waves here, you know what I mean, where now we set the standard for everybody else to follow. That's exciting.
Hey, I'm really glad to see you.
Yeah, that's Jordan Younger, and he happened to be at Shoeless Joe's along with a few of the Argo players and all the Argo cheerleaders. And next time there's a game, head down there. And you can also help out the Argo cheerleaders on their attempts to make it to the Grey Cup. One of the things they have to do is they have to sell 150 magazines with pictures of them in them each to be able to go. So yeah, that's going to be a tough road to hoe for them. And I do like the Argo cheerleaders, and for reasons other than you might think, they're actually nice girls. They're great people, and they have big hearts. They really do. I mean, Jessica, number one on my list for being a big Argo fan and a lady with a lot of character, and it's always fun to meet them over there and talk. Very positive girls, and that's really nice. Anyway, also at Shoeless Joe's, we're on our way. Jay and Doug, well, after the loss.
Jason, to be honest with you, I'm not very satisfied with the way that the Argos played tonight. I mean, Caleros had a couple better passes long range than he did in the past couple of games. However, he didn't do that fourth quarter Tebow magic that we're so used to him seeing.
He does it on the road.
He does it on the road, buddy.
Thanks, Jay.
No problem.
Shut up. I got an interview to do. What'd you think of the game? Say your name and your opinion.
My name's Margarita. And the game was amazing, but they fell short. Unfortunately, on the road, they did great. Four games in a row on the road, but when they come home, I really don't know what happened. But exactly. But we still got to love the Argos. No matter what. And on the 14th, when we go to their house, we will kick ass. No
doubt. All getting on the bus.
That's right. No doubt. We'll be there.
That's right.
What'd
you think? What'd you think of the game?
It was like a very interesting game. It was my first time.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I love football.
You forgot to say your name.
My name is Samantha.
Samantha, congratulations. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pitches are great. Doug Lewis.
There you go.
Frank's assistant.
Yeah. He's the monopod for Frank.
I'm the monopod for Frank, yeah.
By the way, that means that I had my horn sitting on his head.
That's right.
So what'd you think of the game? Did you notice any of it?
It was great. The whole game was great, except for the last, you know, 10 minutes or something.
You can't hide it from me. I saw that thumbs up in the Hamilton direction.
No, like they were getting drunk and disorderly.
Oh,
so I just calmed them all down.
Oh,
calmed them all down.
Okay,
I just said you can't hate people. Hate's a strong word. And it's
hate's the wrong way to go.
It's the CFL. It's only 18. How can you hate anybody?
That's right. That's right.
I learned from your TV show, your radio show. So, you know. Right?
You're going to blame me. You're going to blame me.
No, I'm saying I learned from that. There's only 18.
There you go.
You're missing one off your back. And I go, oh, well.
And thanks for inviting me.
It was meant to come to you.
What?
Your name in the game. What'd you think of it?
I'm a Ticat fan, and I think I still...
Liar.
I still think as a Ticat fan, my Ticats suck. And the city of Hamilton is a good city. But as a Ticat fan, I really don't like cheering for the Ticats. And I wish that I was more like a real good Argo fan. Like, the Argo fans are great here in Toronto. I wish there was more like them. And
they should all have beards.
Only if you say so, Frank. But as a Ticat fan, I got to say, as a Ticat fan, I still truly think my Ticats suck. And hopefully one day they're going to become better. Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome.
All right. So, you know, Ticat fans... We had the tie. What happened? I had the. I thought I remembered having the cheerleaders for Hamilton. I interviewed them as well. That's another one that fell off the cutting room floor. It's amazing to me how Ticat fans. I don't know that Ticat fan that was talking there. He seemed familiar to me. I just couldn't place him. But
he's an honest fan, at least, Frank. Hey, listen, don't put the guy down. I mean, at least he's an honest fan. You can't say a lot about fans these days. At least he knows when his team sucks, and they're not better than the Argos. So that's the only other thing that he was saying in general. You know, I'm sure he's a passionate fan, and he didn't say nothing really negative. You know, it's all that we've heard before, and they're just acting like, you know, what they're playing like. They suck. Sorry, but it was a good fan. I'm sure he means well.
Yeah, but how can he be a good fan if he's saying his team sucks? That's what I'm trying to get. He's like, I love the Ticats. I'm a Ticats fan, but they suck.
Don't tell him, Frank. Don't tell him.
It's like,
I know, Rob.
And he's like, yeah, I'm a Ticats fan, but you know what? Ticats suck. I'm like, whoa.
It's better.
You're not a fan, bro.
Better if you don't
You're
tell
not
him.
A fan.
Not I know,
fan
hey, Rob.
All.
Well, you know, well, at least he's honest, though, right?
Yeah,
you know,
true, but don't be so honest. Damn. At least say it, like, in quiet little, like, go to the church, say a prayer, and say, you know, I'm a Ticats fan, but they suck, you know? Or say it in a don't be, like, right on national radio
okay,
TV
Rob,
or whatever.
Got tears. I got tears in my eyes from cracking up too much, man.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, man, that was too funny. That was too funny.
That was hilarious. Just listening to him. I'm a Ticats fan, but they suck.
Well, you're right, Rob. You know what? Sometimes even Argo fans, like Leaf fans, will always go out and say, look, we suck or whatever because we're
We're really doing that bad. I know you as a Hamilton Ticat fan. You sometimes say it when they lose, but I guess this Ticat fan was really saying that you guys are still better than us. We still suck.
Yeah.
That was me, Rob. Rob, that was me.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Good one, Frank. Good one. I didn't think you were going to play it, but good one, Frank.
Oh, no, Frank, that one hurt, buddy. Seriously? That one hurt.
That was the
That hurt. I can't sleep now. That's it. I'm done.
Hey, kudos to Doug Lewis, the Boat Logo photographer for the page. He put a fire out with the Ticat fans, who I guess were being a little bit belligerent. They couldn't hold their liquor, and I saw a couple of fellas with Ticat poncho or whatever. They had ponchos on, and also you know, their hats, and I forget what the Mexican term for hat is. Umbrero? No.
Sombrero.
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 Yeah. Sombrero. So they had their sombreros on, and they were really, really overloaded with booze. I mean, you know, come on, guys. It's Toronto. Like I said,
well,
they had a good time.
Let's also look back, and the subject of sombreros. We had somebody who legitimately comes from the land of sombreros. Samantha. Was
yes.
that her name?
First-time
Samantha?
Fan.
Yeah, first-time fan from Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sat with the Argo Lifers. Right. She's a friend of my wife, and her girlfriend actually, you know, said, "Look, you guys like to invite a friend." And I said, "Only if they're new. I don't want to." Yep. She's never been to a game. I said, "Okay, then invite her." And that's where you get a genuine, expression and a reaction from a person who's never experienced the game and not experience the game like in a typical Argo atmosphere, just sitting down, but with a fun group, with the Argo Lifers in Section 134B. And Frank, you didn't pay her to say that. I didn't even know you took the interview. But there you go, Rob. She sat with us the first time. She had a fantastic time. Doesn't even know anything about football. You don't have to know if you sit with us. You're just going to have a good time. You guarantee
yeah.
it. We'll give you a noisemaker. We'll give you flags. I got six,
and
seven,
John will let
flags.
You ring his bells. John will let you ring his bells, too.
Yes. Well, the cowbells, too, yeah. And, you know, some people break them. Andrew. By the way, Doug Lewis just posted a video of us chanting during the game, and I just got Andrew on tape smashing my cowbell against the chair, Frank. Remember we talked about it?
Yeah, I thought you said your BlackBerry, but it was your cowbell.
It was. Yes, it was my cowbell.
I thought it was your BlackBerry.
No. It was the cowbell. And as you know, cowbells already have a mechanism to make noise. That's what they're there for. That's what they're called, a bell. So you don't have to smash a bell. Anyway,
well, you know what?
Andrew Linder,
you've never seen what happens when Andrew's in his car. He uses the gas pedal with two friends at the back.
What? By the way, Andrew, Rob, is an Argo fan who comes to the games. He's also not a season ticket holder, but he brings his friends and family to our section, and he has a great time there. So a great fan, and hopefully he's going to become a season ticket holder next year. Everybody turns out to be a season ticket holder, don't they, Frank? Once they sat one or two games in a year with us, next year they end up following up. By the way, Kim Weaver.
What are you asking me for? What are you asking me for?
You're the prime example.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Does that mean my knuckles drag along the ground?
I don't get it. What?
That's okay. You said I'm the prime example.
Okay.
Never mind.
Still don't get it, but that's okay.
That's all right.
By the way, Kim Weaver, I was going to say Kim Weaver is another Argo fan who, joined us a few games ago, and she loved it so much, she's going to be a season ticket holder next year. And she's even posted it on Facebook, so... And Samantha, we're going back to her. That's just the prime example, Frank. I love people like that who first time going to a football game, experiencing the CFL, and to do it in the right atmosphere in our section if you're going to go Argo game, because I can't promise that kind of a feeling in every section. Besides Section 122 in the end zone, great group of guys there. Eric Ransom is one of them in there. And a fellow who does the end zone website. I think you can go to. Do you know the website's name, Frank? I think it's ArgoFanEndZone.com or something like that. And they have a great group of Argo fans that that support the Argonauts. But the
Facebook. That's on Facebook.
What is?
That Argo's Enzo.
No, is it on Facebook too? I haven't seen it on Facebook. I know
there's
a doc.
I think I've seen it
here.
On Facebook.
I'm on Facebook. Argo.
I know,
no, but John's
a doc
talking about a web page.
I'm talking about a web page, not a Facebook page. No. I'm talking about
so
a web
Argo's
page. Anyway.
Argo's Endzone?
Yeah, Argo's Endzone or .com, something or another. Sorry, guys, at the Endzone. I forgot the website. I don't have it in front of me here. But anyway, they're a great group of fans. And Samantha got the experience at least in the right section. And hopefully it'll be memorable enough for where she returns or at least tells her friends and
okay,
stuff.
Okay, John, let me help you.
Yes,
okay,
Frank,
folks,
Frank,
it's really simple. It's argosendzone.com, like John said. So it's one word, Argos End Zone, Zone. And type it in, and you go in there. There's the Jube of the Year voting goes online, the Darian Durant tweet that got him a fine. Argos and Ticats Friday Night Football, yup. And there's even some videos. And
yep.
They follow Mike Hogan, and there you go. So, you know, there's
so
Argo's archive.
For out-of-towners who keep saying Argo fans are non-existent, they don't like the support or follow their team, well, here's another group of fans who put something together to give some more exposure and to show that there are different fan bases. There's the Friends of the Argonauts, which is the official fan club of the Argos, is another great group of people, which Lori Bursey is the president of, which I think you guys should look up. You can find that on Facebook, and that's FOA, Friends of the Argonauts. Check that out, Rob, if you want to look at it. You'll see the information that about the road trip that we're going to Guelph on there, and a lot of little clips and highlights that she posts up there. Which is another great way of exposing the Argos. The Argos Admirals is another great site. Double Blue Fan Club, which is out there. There's the Argo Fan Club, which is actually the title on Facebook, Argo Fan Club. There's fans out there that really care about this team that are not in, you know, their 50s or 60s or 70s. Some are in their 40s.
Easy.
Easy, Frank. But there is a passionate double blue Toronto Argonaut football fan base here that doesn't get the respect that it deserves. The ones who are passionate about this team follow it. They have been all these years. You know, Frank, I got to say something. There was an article I saw that somebody posted on a Facebook page. It was back in 1987 in the Toronto Star where the columnist, I don't have the article in front of me, but wrote something about the poor attendance at the Ticat Argo Eastern Final, okay? And it was about 21,000, all right? And remember, that was the blackout era with Ballard and stuff. And Harold Ballard was the owner of the CFL Tiger Cats, and he was also the owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs at the time. But anyway, the article stated about more or less what's going on today, where it's stating that Toronto only wants to support a NFL team, that we're snobs and that, you know, we don't appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. And that was 20 plus years ago, and they were complaining about 21,000 people, and the league is deteriorating. It's going to fold in Toronto. Well, here we are, 20 plus years later, and we're still in a 20 plus attendance ranges. And shouldn't we be in the 5,000 attendance ranges if this team doesn't really get any attention from the football fans in the city that really care about Canadian football? We're still around. You know, we are going to be around. There's a young generation. If you look at our the Toronto Argonauts Bowl logo page, and we posted pictures from the last game, there's a ton of young kids at these games. It's not all about older fans only going to the Argo games. That's a bunch of crock that gets a lot of media headline attention. It's better to read that and, you know, guys like Cox and Perry Lefko, you know, they say they support the CFL, but indirectly they like to throw more jabs at it. And they think that's a better way of getting attention of a reader, okay?
Oh,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
What's that, Rob?
No, I'm just watching the New York Jets, Jets and the Falcons and NFL game.
Did I not mention... Did I not mention that the NFL doesn't exist during this broadcast?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Like the way you threw a fork in the road there, Rob, in the story here. But anyway.
Sorry.
Hello.
Keep talking like that. I'm going to pick up that fork and stab you in the face with it.
Yeah.
Frank was like, well, what's – and John was like, well, what's that? Then I just said, well, I'm watching the NFL game. And then Frank's like, well, didn't we not say there's no NFL talk in here? And, nope, sorry.
Well, I got to be honest here, and I always am, and maybe that's a little bit – some people don't like the take from me, but I'm also watching the NFL game as we're doing watching the show. So, you know, Atlanta's got to come back. Anyway, football's football. Frank, you know, I know we don't talk about it, and you're right, but I'm not going to be hard on Rob for watching it. And if he sees a good play, great. He's a passionate fan, and the Red Blacks should hire him.
I hope so.
If I remember correctly, aren't I the one that talked about – Mr. Manning and his 5 touchdowns? Or 6? Was it 6? At the beginning of the year in the first game?
You broke the Cardinals thing.
So, yeah.
Yes, you did.
I broke the code. I broke the code.
You broke the code.
I broke the code. So, there you go.
But no, because I was on Facebook, and Brian Bonner posted something like, oh, it's not feeling very good out here in Atlanta right now. So I was kind of like, oh, B, what's up, you know? So I just flipped onto the game, and I'm just like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
They're not playing. Well, they're playing good. They're playing pretty good. But anyways, we can't talk about NFL on here, John. Frank won't allow us to, so.
No, it's not a good thing.
Really? Really?
But if you realize, half the players in the CFL come from the NFL, right?
The thing about
that is a lot of, I'd say that more of them want to go to the NFL that don't, because they don't have the qualities that are required in the NFL. The CFL is an opportunity for players who would never get a chance to play in the NFL.
Okay.
In my opinion.
It also has NFL players who can't make it out there. Decide to come down here, right? In the CFL.
Yeah, I know, but the problem with that is, and I had an interview with Jaleel Carter, and he feels that sometimes what happens is the players that go to the NFL and then play there even for just a couple of years, they come here without the real understanding of the kind of people that come to play in the CFL. It's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different mindset.
Boy, we really got derailed with that one, didn't we? I don't even know what the hell I was talking about before. Thanks.
Well, anyway.
Enough
about that. It's Monday night, and we've seen some really good football this weekend. Can we talk? Did you guys? Well, obviously, Rob, you're not going to have much to say because you didn't watch any CFL games this weekend. Which, you know, we're going to have to fix that problem, my friend.
Oh yeah.
We're going to have to fix that problem.
I'm going to be eating Thanksgiving dinner watching Hamilton.
Well, you know, nothing worse than Thanksgiving dinner to put you to sleep.
With a nice cold beer after or something?
There you go. It's all over, you know, but the whining, I guess.
Frank, I think we're going to have to edit this show for Rob so the Renegades don't hear that he fell asleep during a CFL game. We don't want to have that live.
You don't
want to
put that out there? You don't want to put that out there?
Actually,
well, besides the 5 people that are listening to the show, no, I don't think nobody else should hear this. No.
Actually, I wasn't actually with the Renegades, so then it'd be all right, you know. I was with the Rough Riders and Ticats, so.
Right. Well, I'm gonna have a hard time using the Red Black thing. To me, it was easier saying Renegades, Rough Rider. I get the thing about not having the Rough Riders. You know, that we were a joke. Always on the Carson show, and it's Johnny Carson for you out there who don't know what I'm talking about. He used to, you know, when we ever have anybody talk about the CFL, it was always about the joke about, you know, the 2 Rough Rider names and blah, blah, blah. But Renegades was easier. I'm not sure if it was a great name. Red Blacks, I'm going
to
have a hard
time.
You'll
get used to it, John. You'll get
used
to it.
Part of the tongue.
You know, you can short it to the RBs, you know, the RBs, the Arby's, so you'll think about a restaurant when you say the name, you know?
I know. I'm getting hungry. See? At least that's...
Okay.
I mean, you know, you guys are going to be all fat over there. Fat.
Let's munch on some commentary on the football games that went by. And, of course, the Hamilton-Toronto game. John, you gave a great, interpretation of what happened. Toronto came up short. Collaros didn't come up with the second half. The Saskatchewan-BC game was a very interesting game in the sense that the difference for Saskatchewan without Sheets and with Sheets is
right.
clear.
That's
even
right
though
there.
he didn't run that much in the game.
No.
No.
Well, he did a share. But you're right, Frank. You're right. It's just to have him in the game, he's a mental weapon threat, you know, to the other team. But BC, I got to be honest, I didn't see every single quarter. I was flipping channels, and not flipping channels necessarily, but we were as true as Joe's right after that game. And didn't catch it all. But from what I did see, there were, the Rough Riders came to play. I don't think they were going to, take this game lightly. I think it was a do or die. I mean, I think it has been for them for the last four games prior to this, but it was a must. And I was impressed.
They need to get some momentum going into the playoffs.
Absolutely, Frank. I mean,
like everybody does, right? Like everybody does.
It's tough playing in BC. Yeah, it's BC's a tough place to play in no matter who's quarterbacking them, and they had a streak going for a reason. They're a really good team at home, and I'm not going to, if the Rough Riders don't get second place, good luck to them going to BC, okay? All right? It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and they're not in a good position right now. I mean, whatever. They got to win games, and they got to finish off strong, but if they don't get second or first place,
it is going to be a problem for them. The Montreal-Edmonton game was do you want, Rob, do you have something to add to the BC thing?
Well, yeah, because Calgary is only at 22 points. BC and Saskatchewan are both at 18 points. That's only two games. They still four games left.
But there's only three games.
Four games left.
No, three.
Three, sorry. That's 6 points.
Yeah,
that's right.
So anyone, BC or Saskatchewan,
absolutely. You're right about that, Rob, but let's talk realistically here, okay? Like, to suggest that the wheels are going to fall off Calgary at this point and they're not going to win one out of three games, I don't think that's the case, especially considering who they'll be playing. Next week's going to be tough. They got BC coming in. But then Calgary goes to Edmonton. That's not going to be a tough game for them. And then they have Saskatchewan come say hello. And there are four games left. I apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There are four games
left.
Right.
So then
they're in DC again.
Isn't done yet. It's not
no,
done
no,
yet
no. By no stretch is it done. But a two-game lead at this point with four games left. It's tough. If the other team's a good team. And in this case, I don't think anyone should underestimate Calgary's desire to undo the memory of last year. They're motivated. They're motivated beyond, Saskatchewan. They're motivated beyond BC. They want, the only thing they care about Saskatchewan is that last game on November 24th in BC. That's the game they're working towards. They want to undo the shame that they put on themselves against the Argos. Because one thing I can tell you, and I'm not saying this as an Argo fan, but even non-Argo fans, nobody could believe how easily Toronto dismantled Calgary at the Grey Cup.
Yeah, true, true.
And that was an embarrassment on their part. And they're going to undo it. They're a tough team, and their coach is not one of those guys who forgets quickly.
Okay.
So Calgary's gonna be tough. Not picking them for the Grey Cup is gonna be tough at this point if they continue the momentum they have now.
Yeah.
In my opinion, but anyway, I'm just taking on to your point. But anyway, then you have of course the wonderful game which Montreal dismantled Edmonton.
See, they're lucky
oh my,
because
Montreal's got Winnipeg on the 14th. That's like a gimme game, right? So that's basically a win right there for Montreal, because
for sure,
unless Winnipeg pulls things right out of their ass to win the game, it'll be shocking. But you know, yeah, no.
Well, keep in mind that the rest of the games are, there's no crossovers from what I can see the rest of the season, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the West gets to determine their positioning based on how they play against the West, and the East has the same. The only variable to consider is, as you said, you've got Winnipeg playing Hamilton, Winnipeg playing Toronto, and Winnipeg playing Toronto, in fact, twice, right? And then Winnipeg playing Montreal. So, you know, how Toronto plays against Winnipeg will be the determining factor. That's why, you know, a lot of people are all, you know, Hamilton has visions of finishing first. Okay, that's fine. But they're going to have to win two more games than the Argos do. And the clincher's going to be the one in Hamilton. If they beat Hamilton in Hamilton, there'll be three games left. They'll have 6 points. It's over.
Yep.
Because the tiebreaker belongs to Toronto if they win in Hamilton.
Okay.
They're even at 1-1, right, John?
Yep.
So
they're even at 1-1 right now.
So you can look at that game that's being played in Hamilton this week, Monday on Labor Day, the one we're going to. Friends of the Argonauts, if you want to join us on the bus, look them up, friendsoftheargonauts.ca. You can get on the bus with us. That game is a three-pointer, if I can use that as a description of it's worth more than 2 points.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, you know, it's a big game.
I'm looking forward to it, Frank.
I know you are. So,
Rob's not looking forward to it too much. He's thinking about his Thanksgiving meal.
So real quick, the Winnipeg-Calgary game, the outcome was as everyone predicted. Everyone knew that Calgary beat the crap out of Winnipeg, and they didn't disappoint.
Oh, so, yeah.
That was a 38-11. That was and John Cornish ran up a storm or something, I heard, eh?
Yeah, he
had a good game.
Like,
he had a very good game.
He had 17 carries for 208 yards.
And what does that mean? What does that mean?
That means
those
that
yards that he ran.
208.
Means that he's in first now. He passed Sheets.
Yeah. Actually, let me go to the...
The defending yardage guy is back in first again.
Yeah, well, you know, Sheets... Well, we'll see how they finish off.
Yeah.
I still think Cordish is a healthier running back than Sheets is. Sheets, I don't know, Frank. I got to tell you, three more games, I'm predicting another injury on this guy. They depend on him so much that he's going to have to carry the ball a lot more. What you saw this past game, I think it was just a warm-up because it's his first game back, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I'm happy for the Saskatchewan fans, as I will be happy for the Argo fans this week if Ricky Ray comes back in. There's nothing better than having your team's best players dressed and ready to go.
Right.
You're playing it, aren't you, John?
Yeah. Doug Lewis posted on Facebook clip.
I listened to it too, but I listened to it in my headsets, not to disturb the show like other people.
Oh no, I don't mind doing that. Hey, listen, go ahead, you guys.
Okay, so John.
Oh. Yeah, I'm still here. I just put you on mute.
Oh.
I don't want to disturb your show, Frank.
What an ass.
There you go.
Okay,
hey,
so basically, okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break, and we'll come back after the break, and maybe if you guys would like to pipe in. I still haven't heard what your predictions are for the playoffs, so when we come back, maybe that's what we should do.
Okay.
Travis.
Travis Lule.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you like him.
Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You gotta like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's after it.
Articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion.
He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning. TSN 1050.
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white Leaside like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested. No way. Now I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown. Yeah, 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 yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo. I fly to D.C. and hide all their weed. I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo. I pocket Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton faces. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they say that I'm wrong.
Nah. I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
He's
a big Argo.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself one of those Condridge Holloway mesh jerseys circa 1982 with the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes, and walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah! And I'm going to talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want, because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay! They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Yonge Street, and it won't make a lick of difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dennegan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get Bill Simons, Joel Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Moen, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're gonna go right down.
Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo.
Just shut up and sing the song, pal.
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
Argo! Argo! Argo!
Hey! Argo! Oh, oh! Oh, oh.
I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
Unbelievably, this week, Winnipeg has really decided, there's only one way to say it. I mean, they've decided that their future is next year, not this year, and they've moved Hall. And that to me is just a sign of the team not really caring about this year. But I'm not so sure that. Well, I guess you just gotta. Only time will tell. It reminds one when a team is in a building mode. What they do is they take what they have, they determine what they have as useful, and keep what they believe is useful and build on that. These complete teardowns, in my opinion, are never good in sports. And unfortunately, Winnipeg. It seems to be what the direction that they're taking is that they're just basically going for, you know, a total new package, if you will. And unfortunately, I don't think that bodes well for Hamilton. The key now, I'm dying to see how Edmonton reacts to this not making the playoffs. The trading deadline is this week. Is it this week or next week? Next week, end of the month, isn't it? John, do you remember when the trading deadline is? I think it's in a couple of weeks.
Right? No, I couldn't tell you. I'm not paying attention to the trading. What trading deadline? No one's trading nobody. We like everybody. We're keeping everybody. Barker, let's not do this. There's nobody out there to fetch. There's nobody on the block that's available.
Well, you don't think that the Argos would, or any other team, if for example Edmonton and Winnipeg are having a fire sale by CFL standards, you don't think there's anything that either teams can pick?
Edmonton is not stupid enough to let go of anything that is of any value right now because they need to build on whatever they have as far as talent. And they're a far better talented team than Winnipeg is. And then when it comes to Winnipeg, really, what have they got there that is kind of something that is really tempting? And anything that they do have, they got to sustain that and keep them for next year. So trade stuff, I don't see nothing popping up as far as trades go here, Frank. I don't see it anyway.
The other problem is cap. You know, everybody has a cap, so it'd have to be.
I think everybody's
good
ready to go. They're good as going to get here as far as the players and where the station. And I don't usually see too many serious impactive trades at this time of the year. It would really have to be one player, you know, that's really their star that they want to. I don't know. I really can't say. I can't, you know,
last
I forget.
Year,
I don't even want
to. Part of that? Or they trade? No, he got traded in at the end of the year. Messam went to Montreal.
I can't remember.
Well, I think
I
he was
remember.
A summertime trade. I think he was a summertime trade. I don't think he was a trade deadline trade.
Right.
But regardless, the movement of players right now, I guess in using your term, are the Argos set with the players that they have, or do they have needs that maybe? Might need to be taken care of either due to injury or, weakness. I mean, okay at quarterback. They're okay at running back. All the key positions. If Chad Owens can get back to his receiving best. And Childs, how about Childs? Where was Childs during the game?
I don't know.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's the other thing. Where was Childs? I mean,
if you're asking me who's going to be concerned, I'm worried about our linemen. Okay, we have Washington who hasn't played. He didn't play the Edmonton game. I'm not sure if he played the one before that. I bumped into him at Chulis, and he's going to see him practice how he feels. And these guys, the big guys up front, people forget about. You know, they're the ones who do the pounding and go through the really grind on every play. And we kind of forget, I know Joel Pell wasn't too happy with his last game on Friday. He was pretty disgruntled with himself. So it's the big guys up front who at this time of the year, Frank, are the ones who feel it the most. You know, they carry the most weight. Later in the season, big men tend to feel it more. You know, their aches and pains become a little bit more serious. They're cramping, they're whatever. You know, bigger guys take it a little bit harder at the end of the year. You're going to say, well, are they out of shape? Well, when you weigh up to 300-plus pounds or whatever, your bone structure can't take the wear and tear this deep into the season. So the effects are going to be there. And Washington hasn't played, like I said, for a little while. And I'm kind of missing him. But as far as our quarterback situation, well, it is what it is. We're getting back Gray. Our receivers are our receivers. There's nobody besides Owens who's got to get back into maybe game shape. But this guy's never out of shape. I mean, on his worst day compared to other CFL players, this guy's in shape. He's in shape 24 hours all year round. So it's just a matter of getting him, back into practice mode and game mode. And I don't think he's missed a beat this past Friday. I think he played pretty good for his first game back. And, having a rib injury is always a tender thing. Taking a couple more shots in the game right off the bat, it looked good. It looked good. It looked like he's all healthy and ready to go.
for Monday. And we're looking forward to see Ricky Ray back Monday. I think he's going to play, Frank.
On
I really
Monday?
Think he's gonna... Yeah.
On Monday?
Yeah.
You think he's going to be back?
I think so. I think it's time. They wouldn't have dressed him if
yeah,
they,
but
you know. Yeah. They wouldn't have dressed him on Friday as a third stringer. You don't just bother with it. I think they're going to put him in on. I'd be surprised if he didn't play. Okay, I really would. I'd be kind of totally be shocked if he didn't play on Monday. Why are we keeping him so long? If he is ready to go, which I hear the green light's been given, obviously being dressed, you don't give the green light unless he is completely healthy. And
well,
why, you know, you just don't do that.
John,
you're
right. He's not on the injured list, so he is on the active roster, and that being number 50, Ricky Ray. So he's on the active roster. I decided, well, I'll check out, see the status. And I was right. Chiles was hurt. He was a scratch.
He was?
Yeah. And that explains why
we never noticed him.
Well, no, that's what I meant to say. That's what I was saying. I never saw him, so he must have been injured. And, you know, ever since Kolaros took over, Chiles has been his favorite receiver, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and he wasn't there.
He was the only receiver that was able to pull in the balls that he threw recklessly around the receivers. Yeah, Chiles is the one that pulls them in most of the time. But for now, whatever. Maybe that's the reason why I don't remember Chiles. But I guess he was a scratch. It's a blur.
Yes, he was. So I don't see Washington on the. Washington's not on the, injured list. He's on the roster, the active roster.
Okay. So, he said, right? He's going to see how it is in practice this week, right?
Yeah, I got you.
So that's you know what I mean? That's what I said. He's going to see how but he hasn't played in a while, and he wasn't playing Friday, and it's the guys like him that we need back in the lineup.
Well, I'm looking at the Argos website here. They have an old lineman, Tyler Holmes. Isn't that Richard Holmes' son, who played for Ottawa Rough Riders?
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. All you click his name, and it'll give you a little bit of history about him, and you might be able to find out. That I can't answer you. He's on the active roster, right?
Yeah.
Tyler Holmes. Rob, I love you, Rob, but I don't ever know where you're leading to.
He's born in Ottawa, Ontario, so yeah, it is Richard Holmes' son. Yeah,
he is this year. Tyler's father is Richard and played for Ottawa.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There you go. See, that's the reason why you should be rooting for the Argos.
Plus,
there
I
you
know
go, Frank.
Plus, I know the coaches are the coaches. The equipment staff in that, so. But they're going against my Ticats. That's going to be hard to call for. I might just throw a coin in the air and pick heads, Toronto, and tails, Hamilton. Whatever comes down, that's it.
All right.
But I'll probably go for Hamilton, though.
Hey, Rob, can I ask you, have you seen the merchandise that the Red Blacks have out yet?
I've seen some of it, like when I went to the introduction of the Red Blacks, the name and logo and all that. I'm so retarded because I'm like, yeah, I want to get a Red Black shirt. You know, I want to support the team. So I go up to the thing and said, yeah, I'd like to get a medium shirt, please. And so she says, okay, $25. I'm like, all right. Slip it out of my wallet, give it to her, and try it on when I get home. It was skin tight. I bought a youth medium. I'm like, oh my. I wore it to work the next day. My brother looks at me. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I bought this yesterday. Could fit my friggin' 6-year-old nephew. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, that's just retarded. But yeah,
so,
I saw some of the attire that they have going out that they're going to try to sell.
You think they're going to have any scarves?
Probably a crying scarf.
Oh.
A what kind?
A crying scarf.
A crying scarf. Maybe for the first season they'll have a crying scarf, but I think after that they'll have Grey Cup scarves.
Mm-hmm. Well, you won't see them here in Toronto. They don't believe in Toronto that scarves are a football thing or a winter thing, evidently. In the rest of the league, they do, but here in Toronto, no. Reebok, who made some sort of a scarf this year, is just completely insulting us fans with the design. It's horrific and embarrassing, and I will never purchase one. Sorry, Reebok. It's just awful. But, hopefully the merchandise in the Red Blacks will be a lot better, and hopefully they'll get a scarf. I'm sure they will get a scarf. I'm sure they will.
I was talking to the old, I guess he was the equipment manager, equipment person for Hamilton, Toronto, and Ottawa, Gabe Mezzi.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Mezzi or whatever.
We're good with either one.
What's that?
I said we're good with either one. It's okay.
And he told me he bought a red-black shirt to support the Ottawa Redblacks. I'm like, there you go.
Hey, did you guys, speaking of merchandise, did you guys see the collection of CFL hats that were released last week? Yeah,
I liked all of them except I didn't like one. You can guess which one.
That were released last week that were designed by your favorite or one of the favorite players of each team, by the way, designed these hats. Frank, you said what? Who did you like?
I liked all of them except one.
Okay. Well, as far as an impression, just going from what Margaret, when she first saw them, she couldn't tell, besides maybe two to three of them, which team they belonged to, first of all.
That's true.
And the colors for the way they were placed is a little bit odd and strange, but whatever. But I did have a favorite, and I thought, obviously the Argo one I do like out of all of them. I didn't love it. I liked it. The BC Lion one I liked. That was pretty neat. The Montreal Alouettes, I don't know what the guy was thinking when he made the camouflage with the triangle design in the middle. Good luck on sales on that. The Edmonton Eskimo, the City of Champions, written crest on the hat.
That's the one I didn't like.
I know. Yeah, really, Frank? Yeah, you
well,
know.
Well, that's that hat, they should have sold that hat 15 years ago.
Yeah. At least, I guess.
I didn't like that. That to me was ridiculous.
It was cheesy, okay?
It was
corny,
I don't
whatever.
Use cheesy, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Try selling a hat that's that refers to you as the City of Champions. You haven't won anything in God knows how long.
Yeah, I should have said, it should have put in a former champions, City of Former Champions.
I saw that somebody posted change the A to a U.
Oh. I'll let listeners absorb that for a little bit. Oh! Okay. Anyway, what did you like, Rob?
I kind of like the Toronto one. The Toronto one was, I like it because if it was the right hat that I was looking at, it had like the A,
mm-hmm.
like on the side, and it had Argos like along the side.
In the middle, not on the side. I don't know if you were looking at the right ones. The Argo was a really light blue with big lettering Argos in the front, and then in between the lettering, I think it was on the G, it had the A logo that they have, the crest, the shield or whatever. I don't know how to describe it anymore.
Yeah, I like the Argo one.
Yeah, and the BC Lion one wasn't too bad either. Way off of their design, but it wasn't too bad. I like the color coordination in that. That was pretty cool. The Regina one? Now, the Saskatchewan one freaks you out. If you look at it because of the black hat
and the black patch that has a yellow shading in it, if you look at it, it looks like an AY. And they're saying,
yeah.
What are you thinking? But when you look at it hard, it's really the S in between all the black that you're missing out. So it freaks you out on the visual because it looks like an AY. And it doesn't look like anything like Regina, but really the S is there. But because the hat is black, it fades out in the background. You can't tell what it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was kind of a weird hat image. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I'm not happy with Reebok's stuff this year. I wish there were, you know, half the stuff is good. The other half is, I just don't like it. Whatever. Wish they would listen to fans more, but I they don't. What's that there, Frank? Did you fall asleep this time? Okay, well, good night, folks. Take care. You have a good night. Hello. Adios, amigos.
Are you leaving, John?
Take care, Rob.
Are you
okay,
leaving, John?
Take care, buddy.
Oh, Frank, you're there.
Of course I'm here.
Frank, we thought you fell asleep like I did during the Ticats game there.
No. I'm fine. I was just sitting here admiring. I was listening to what John had to say, and I was looking for Argo videos. I just came to a conclusion. I've drawn a conclusion.
Why?
I'm very pissed off since the movie Argo came out.
Why? Oh, because anytime you type in Argos, it comes up.
Yeah, you get the movie. All about the movie. I don't care about the movie.
I think the best thing that could have happened to the Argos as far as international exposure would be the fact that the movie came out. Because anytime anybody else in the rest of the world types in Argo, it will pop up Argonauts also, Toronto Argonauts Football Club. So, indirectly, Frank, it's not such a bad thing.
Well, then in that case, they should change their name to the Toronto Mileys.
Check this out. I just post this one up on Facebook right here.
Hold on. I'm still waiting. Oh! All right, that was good, Frank. People are not going to get it. Yeah.
Of course not. It's because they'll have the Cyrus virus. They're getting lower and lower. Okay. Yeah, that too. Okay, you know what? I agree with John. Robbie?
Yep.
Robbie, I need you to make a promise for next week.
What's that?
I will watch the CFL games.
Yeah.
Drink lots of coffee before the game.
Yeah.
And make sure that I watch the game so that when I get on Candid Frank Live again, I don't have to say that I didn't watch my favorite team play.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just not right. That's not right.
No.
But I've done it too, so stuff happens.
Well, I was just dozing off and I usually go to my TV and I push like record.
Yep. That's what I do.
And then it records it, right? So what I'll do is I'll make sure make sure it's recorded, so this way if I happen to be out of the house or away or something, this and that, I can just be like, come back and watch it, right? Even though if I already know the final score, like Hamilton 38, Toronto 12,
What's the score going to be this week, Rob? Seriously, 38-12?
About that, yeah.
For the Ticats.
38-14, Ticats.
Okay. John, what do you think?
Oh, boy. Well, let me just tell you something here, Rob. The defense for the Argos is not going to let this happen twice. I guarantee you that. If they can stop Calgary, if they can stop Regina, they can stop Edmonton on the road. Believe you me, these guys show up on the road and they like to play hard. And they're not. I know Jones is just livid over the way this turned out for them. And it's not going to be the same. 38 points?
Yeah.
Nah. Sorry.
I think so.
No.
What do you think the score is going to be, John?
I'm looking at Ricky Ray playing, I'm looking at 36-25.
Okay, good one. I'm saying 45-34.
Okay, 38-21. I'm switching that.
Oh, well, now you're starting to wimp out, buddy. Come on.
No, 14
is first, too low. First it was 38-12. Now it's 38-14. You know what? If I call you tomorrow, what's the score going to be?
38-21.
Frank, you got to forgive him. He's a Ticap fan. Come on. They changed, like, you know.
You know the funniest thing, you know, John, on Facebook, I like the picture that, I don't know if anybody else noticed, on Facebook, as John says, posted on the Boat Logo page, were pictures not only of us, not only videos of us, but also the Ticat fans holding, ironically, a scarf with Hamilton Tiger Cats upside down.
Well, Frank, let's not, I know, but look, it's all good. Rob's good. He's a Ticat fan. He's a fan of the CFL. And even if they don't know when the writing is upside down, that's okay. That doesn't mean they didn't get the education. Okay, Frank, don't say that. I know you're trying to say that. It's all good. It's all good. But you know what we did, Frank? You see how what we you know, they were posted. The pictures of them were posted. We're, you know, we like to give exposure to good, passionate fans, and they deserve it. That's why it's up there on the Toronto Argonauts Boat Logo page. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Have you
John?
Seen them, Rob?
What's that?
Have you seen the pictures?
No. What are they?
Okay, well,
the,
check it out. Do you know where you can check it out?
On TorontoArgonauts.com?
No,
on Toronto Argonauts Boat Logo page on Facebook.
Argos.
No, just
Toronto Argonauts. Boat
just
logo
type in
page.
Boat logo, it'll come up.
Yeah.
Boat logo. Boat.
Yeah.
Boat logo page right there.
Yeah.
Let me check it out.
You'll be proud of your Ticat fans.
Oh, hey, Rob, that's one way you can catch up on what you missed that you didn't see on TV highlights. It's all right there in those pictures.
Oh, the guy's hanging a cat. I don't like this guy wearing number 2. I don't like that. He's hanging a cat.
Just for you, Rob.
Oh, no, that can't be. No, I don't like that now.
We like our cats well hung.
Yeah, no shit, eh?
Oh, you're telling me Ticat fans don't do worse? What about that stuffed Argonaut player that they always drag around on the field? What about that? Huh? They tie him to their little 4x4. That Tiger Tabby thing that he's got, and he rides around the stadium all the time. Oh, so that's okay, Rob? Huh? That's okay?
No.
You know, you got to take it. If you give it, you got to take it too, right?
Yeah.
And you know
I get it.
Hey, Rob, you know what it's done with? It's all done with fun.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what it's done with. You know what I'm saying?
Fun.
Here, John, of interest to you, I had a long-standing war with a couple of people on Facebook this week, actually today and yesterday. And what happened was I made a reference to the fact that at the Leaf game, there were more people outside watching outside on the big screen than most stadiums in the U.S. And they were offended. And I said, like Phoenix. And what it boils
or
down
Florida.
To... Florida during the exhibition season.
Oh, my God.
What it boils down to, in my opinion, and the irony is this, and the point I tried to make with these Coyote fans, they like to be referred to as Yotes fans, was that we have the same problem here that they're worried about, but we take it differently. We listen from time to time, and this is friends, people like Mike from Minnesota, who wonders out loud, why do the Argos even have a team in Toronto? And I basically was making the point that there are a lot of places that might have, you know, more appeal for the fans, but it doesn't mean you're not loyal to your team. And so
right.
I can relate to Coyotes fans who don't want to lose their team, and neither do we. And we would like our team to have a better chance to be successful, as I'm sure the Yotes fans would. So I just wanted to put that out there. We're down to our last minute. Rob, you want to say goodbye?
Sure. See ya.
See ya.
John, how about you?
Well, I like to say thanks for having me again, Frank. It was nice chat in Argo Talk, and even after a loss to the Ticats, it's fine and dandy. I'm looking forward to Monday and a great Thanksgiving that we will, I know, have a great time.
Monday's
going to
be a great show. Thanks a lot, Frank. It's going to be a great show on Monday.
You're welcome, my friend. Nice getting to
all
know
right.
you both. And John,
all right.
I got to send an email now to the Argos asking them about scarves.
Okay, thanks.
All righty. Thanks a lot, eh, Frank?
You're welcome. All right, my name is Frank Sinise. You've been listening to Candid Frank Live, our of a CFL show that supports the Toronto Argonauts and the Canadian Football League. We hope you've enjoyed the program. We'll see you again Monday today, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.